Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
God has a word for us. And how many believe right now that we live in troubled times? There's turmoil, isn't there? There's turmoil in the political world. There's turmoil in the nations. Listen, for 4 years, the past 4 years, there hadn't been any kind of war. There was no kind of battles. And now we're just 1 month into this new administration, and there's bombs in Syria. And so God showed me something with that. And it's not so much political, it's not so much, you know, racial. It's the issues of the heart. You see, we're men and women, we're born with a sinful nature. And one of the things that I'm hoping that we can establish this morning is focusing on the Lord. Because as we focus on the Lord Jesus, guess what he does? He shows us what's inside of us. As we draw close, he lets us do a peekaboo in our heart. And there are things in our heart that it's like, gosh, Lord, I didn't know that was there. And here's the grace of God. What he does is he by his grace and by his mercy, as we present it to him, as we open up our heart and we give him those things that causes us sometimes to stumble in life, he takes them and he replaces them with the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness. And so we're going to see a little later in this message an illustration. And I want you to really take heed to the illustration that I'll be putting up in a few moments. And then you'll see what Jesus is always talking about the soil. He's always talking about a farmer. He's always talking about seeds and types of soil. And so we're gonna look into this message and ask God to really, truly help us through this message. Amen. Are we ready? All right. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask everyone just to stand and open up your Bibles to Isaiah 26. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4 together. Amen. Let's go there right now. I've entitled this morning's message, "Let Our Minds Be Stayed on Thee." Let our minds be stayed on thee. Praise God. And that's sometimes hard to do. Did you know that? That's hard to do. And so to be focused on the Lord, we have to establish a prayer life. I hope you know that. Because the flesh does not want to engage in the things of the Spirit. There's a war constantly. So are we there on Isaiah 26, 1 through 4? And the Word of God reads, "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in." Did you catch that? That the righteous nation, my goodness, will keep the truth. Look at this. In verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because trust is in you." Verse 4, "Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting." Now, did you catch verse 3? I want you, before we sit down, catch verse 3. "You will keep him in perfect peace." Okay, this is the key word in this message, is having the peace of God. Because there's people that experience anxiety and they struggle in life with fear. And so we're going to have to take a look at that. Amen? May the Lord have a blessing to the hear and read of his word. You may be seated. And so let's look at this for a moment right up here. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus gave his disciples an amazing promise. A promise. How many of you love promises that are given to you? Listen, a promise is something that you can expect to keep, right? And expect to come. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. All right. So in John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Praise God. You see, saints, Jesus wasn't saying that all their conditions would be serene, easy, and comfortable. But on the contrary, he was telling them that they would have peace of mind and heart even in their circumstances of painful, difficult, and uncertain situations of life. And this is the same kind of peace that Jesus promised to all who belong to him. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that we can have perfect peace through Christ? And so, saints of God, the peace Christ gives is a subtle sense of satisfaction in him. It's got to be in Christ. And no other entity on this earth can give us total peace. It's not dependent upon good conditions, but on a relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Let's look at what Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church right here. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in some ways, in every way. The Lord be with you all." Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, we can be confident that no matter what we face in life, and many of us are facing a lot of trials. Are you in a trial right now? Are you facing situations in your life that seem impossible at times? Yes. Well, he is with us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And one of these days, whether we die or Jesus comes first, either or, all the troubles of this life will be over. How many can't wait till your troubles are over? Listen, if you've never been in trouble, keep on living. Trouble will find you. Can I get amen? Oh, just keep on living. It'll come knocking at your door. You're going to open your door. "I'm trouble. Here I am. I'm just showed up." That's right. Trouble will come. The book of Job tells us that a man born of a woman is but one day and full of trouble. My goodness, trouble will come. Praise God. And all the troubles of this life will be over by God's grace. And we'll be in heaven forever. But let me just say this. God is doing something in our life, preparing us for that day to come. Can I get amen? Look what the book of Hebrews says. "Let your conduct," say this with me, "let your conduct be without covetousness." Meaning we should be walking as a life that gives, not just takes. We love taking things, but can you learn to give your life away? Are you ready to surrender your life and give your life away? Look at this. "Be content with such things if you have." You know, let me just pause right here. I said it like this. If your neighbor is building a swimming pool next door, don't go to your spouse and say, "Hey, we need to build one too. We need to keep up with the Joneses." No. Just bake a pie and go give it to them next door and use their pool too. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. There's ways to work around these situations. You don't have to be coveted in your heart, right? Enjoy the blessing your neighbor has and be their friend and they'll invite you over. Can I get amen? Amen? Praise God. Amen. Let's go back to the word. Now look at this. It says this, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Isn't that a wonderful promise to know that? Amen. So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." Say that with me. The Lord is my helper. That's right. If you're waiting for a stimulus check, keep waiting. But God is going to help me. Can I get amen? God will deliver me. God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. He says, "I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You see, my friends, everything will be right and everything will be serene because Jesus promised it. But until then, we have his peace within us. Praise God, that the world cannot identify. You know, the world is in turmoil. Before I came to the Lord, I was in turmoil. I was bitter. I was angry. Anything would throw me off, and I would go on the deep end. You wouldn't want me to be your friend in my BC years. You know what BC means? Before Christ. Amen? That's right. No, I was one of those horrible guys. You didn't want to be. Oh, man, stay away from that guy. But when the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, his great salvation came upon me, he changed me from the inside to the outside. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so God's going to make everything right in his time. Let's look at this for a moment. Christ's peace is not like that which the world offers. That's right. You see, the world will offer you something temporarily. It's temporal. Things on this earth, have you noticed it doesn't last long? You know, oh, I just bought a brand new 2019. Already, it's getting worn out. I need tires. And after a certain amount of miles, things will start falling apart. Can I get amen? It's almost like everything on this earth has a temporary time slot in it where it'll run out of time. And then you either have to buy something new or do something afresh. Amen? But see, when we live with Jesus in eternity, there's not going to be clocks on the wall. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. We won't be in these bodies of flesh anymore. Amen. We'll be able to worship the King and honor him and praise him and glorify his name for eternity. Man, I can't wait. You see, this body wants to go to sleep every now and then. It gets tired. Hey, you know what? What time is it, man? Well, you know, hurry up, preacher. I'm hungry. The ribs are going to be gone at Hometown Buffet if you don't hurry up. That's how we act, huh? That's how we are. I mean, because we live in this body of flesh. But Jesus is going to change all things. You see, this age is not characterized by peace, whether external or internal. People are anxious about, what are they anxious about? Jobs, finances, relationships, and situations, because the world cannot give them the peace that transcends circumstances. The only thing it could offer is counterfeits. You see, I ran into a person that works at Walmart. I knew them from elementary school. And, you know, and they got a job there. I remember he told me that, because he's a checker. So there's all kinds of counterfeit money, right? But they don't teach them to study the counterfeit. You know what they teach them? To study the original. Because if whatever comes in doesn't look like the original, it's a counterfeit. So this world has many counterfeits that want to deceive us, that want to lure us away, especially from God. Right now, there's a big old doctrinal movement, and I spoke to a good friend of mine, and he's ready to bail from there, but the elder board got together and says, you know what? We're going to start teaching preterism. You know what preterism is? Okay, yeah, it's a new age teaching, basically saying that Revelation has already come to pass, that Jesus will not return in the clouds. What? It's heresy, but that's what people are gravitating to. It's a counterfeit. See, if Satan could come in and twist things up and it's, that sounds pretty good. Well, the Bible talks about itching ears. The enemy comes to tickle and just scratch you in your ears so that you can be swayed away. And there's about 6,000 people that attend that church. It's huge. Well, right now he says there's only, from 6,000, there's only 1,500 showing up because we're still in COVID. I was watching Raul Ruiz. How many of you know who Raul Ruiz is? I was watching his YouTube this morning getting ready, and they kind of panned in the audience. Man, there was a lot of empty seats. There's still people that are fearful, but still won't come back. Pray for them. Just pray for them. And I'm praying that only God can touch their hearts. You can't force no one, but all you can do is say, Lord, have your perfect way. Why? Because he's saying it's the only thing it can offer is counterfeits, this world, which falsely promise that peace will come when they can have whatever they want. That's right. You know, before I got saved, I had a Burger King life. Have it at my way. That's right. Until God showed me there was a better way, and that was to follow him. Can I get amen? Look at this right here. Jesus is the source of peace. Amen? Look what Philippians 4:6 says. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Listen, if you have issues that you need, go to God. He has the answer. How many believe he has the answer? He has the answer to everything that we could ever want and need on this earth. Look at this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So no matter what we can contrive, what we can just sum up in our mind, his peace surpasses even all of our intellect, all of our understanding. Anything that we can draw up, it surpasses that kind of understanding. And it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God will keep you in truth. Amen. Praise God. How many want to just walk in truth? Amen? You don't want to lie. You see, saints, Christ's peace is not something we can work to attain, but it's a gift freely given to all who belong to him. How many can honestly say, I belong to the Lord? Amen. Praise God. By faith, huh? And it's actually the gift of himself that is acquired at salvation. So when we surrender, when we give our heart to the Lord, immediately, praise God, he gives us himself and he chooses to live inside of us. You know, that's hard to figure out for those who are not born again, who don't have the mind of Christ. How can that happen? It's by faith, through grace. Come repentant before God, and then God will transform you. You see, my friends, at that moment, an eternal relationship with Christ is established, and where he is, there is peace. Say that with me. There is peace. And one of the evidence of this relationship with the Prince of Peace is that we become peacemakers. Or do you still look at your friend or your neighbor like, what up? No, you know what? God floods our heart with peace. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look what God says about that. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? Sons of God. Praise God. You're not known as a troublemaker now, are you? Uh-uh. No. But let me just say this. Look at this. There is a narrow path that leads to peace, and that passeth through Christ. And him alone. Can I get amen? Through him alone. You see, the world offers a wide selection of ways to find tranquility. But they are all false because they're all temporal. Yet this is the path most people choose. They choose other than Christ. And they move from one false hope to the next, but are never able to satisfy the gnawing need for their peace in their hearts. How many could go back in your BC years before you gave your heart to Christ, and that you were just so, you were like restless. There was anxiety. There was fear. And then when Christ came, there was peace that came and a love like you never had before. And now I can love my brother. I can love my sister. I can love the things of God. I can love to be in God's word. I can love to serve. Because prior to that, it was, what can I get out of this? What's in it for me? And so when Jesus sent his disciples out to proclaim the kingdom of God, this is what he said. Look at this. He said this, whatever house you enter first, peace be to this house. My friends, let me just say this. When you go visit your friends, your family, even on the job, you know what? Just start praying there. Lord, let the peace of God be in here. Lord, if there's anything that's not like you, Lord, let it go. Let it go. And that peace would be established there. Can I get amen? You see, this verse is a good reminder for us to pray for those homes we visit. And how many have visited a home and it's chaos? The cat wants to get out of the house. It's on the screen. The dog is barking. Stuff is being thrown all over the place. Words that we don't use no more are shouted. That's my house. No. But let me just say this, saints. Although we may not know the circumstances of those lives that are going through turmoil, the Lord does. God knows. And this is why God saved us, that we can share the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, that they may not come to a Sunday morning. They may not come to a Wednesday night. And so the only Jesus they're ever going to see is your life. Can I get an amen? When they see Jesus in you, the hope of glory, guess what? Hopefully that'll give them a desire. This is what I need in my life. This is what I want in my life. I want my life to change too. And that's when God will open up a supernatural door and you will walk in and God will open even a little sliver, a crack of hope for them. And you'll be able to share the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And you'll be able to tell them that God can save you too like he saved me. Amen? God can do these things. Now, let's look at this for a moment. On the narrow path to peace, there are obstacles that still aren't peace. They still aren't peace. Now, remember I talked about an illustration? I need you to see this. And then you're going to understand why Jesus talked about the fields, a farmer, and how it needs to be cultivated to be fruitful. Let's look at this for a moment. Did you see the process? Okay, before that harvest could come, these big rocks and boulders had to be cleared out. So they had to be dug up, okay? And then once it was dug up, then the whole field was then graded. It prepared it for the seeds to come. And then this last one, you saw the end game. You saw the end of the whole process. Now that whole field became fruitful and produced fruit. And now they're harvesting it right now so that we can have this beautiful food in our refrigerators and in our cupboards. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so, what are those boulders in your heart? What big boulders that God had to uplift out of your heart? Or maybe some have formed again. And that God has to go in there and dig these things out. Can I get an amen? Amen. Why? Because we want to be fruitful. Your life needs to be an example to those who need Christ. And so let's look at one of these. My goodness, it's lustful thoughts. Oh God, how big is that boulder? You see, my friends, when a Christian is looking where he shouldn't and desiring something sinful, he will have no peace because of the conviction of sin that comes from God's Spirit within him. Lust always creates chaos in the heart and the soul. Let's look at what Galatians says right here. If I say then, walk, say that with me, walk in the Spirit. Here's the key now. We're going to look at all these stones that God has just that dug up out of our life. And then we can share with others, you know what? Here's how God can take those things out of you too. Can I get amen? And here is the key. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So that's one of the keys, is to walk in the Spirit of Christ. You see, the world don't have that kind of peace, because they don't have Christ living in them, the hope of glory. But you and I do. Can I get amen? Okay, I found another boulder. There's a whole lot of stones and boulders in the field. And the field, picture your heart, that we're the field. Jesus talked about certain soils of the heart. Can I get amen? One of them is guilt. Guilt. You see, my friends, peace is fragile and is easily lost when you feel the guilt of our sin, our own sin. We got to own it. It could be something we said or we did that we shouldn't have, or perhaps something we should have said or done but didn't. Either way, our peace evaporates under the Spirit's conviction. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You see, when you have the Holy Spirit, you can now have ammunition to remove that guilt and that shame. How do you do that? It's right here. It's real simple. God gives us the ammunition, my friends. It's right here, found right here. Look at that. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 and 9, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's in the Word of God. It's in God's Word. Praise God. You see, this is where we find our hope. This is where we find truth. This is where we find our solution. This is where we find our freedom. This is where we can be set free. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So Jesus is the Word. Can I get an amen? And because he's the Word, he has given us the know-how to confess these things, and then God can pluck those things out of our heart. Praise God. Amen. By faith. And listen, we all need some plucking every now and then. Can I get amen? Amen. That's right. Praise God. Oh, yes. We still live in this body of flesh. Here's another biggie. Here's another big old stone. I think this is probably one of the biggest stones of them all. Is the anger. Oh, my gosh. Oh, come on. Come on, there's some folks, man, you gotta, it's almost like you gotta walk on rice paper when you're around them. They could be so offended so easy, huh? They could be offended so easy. And so anger. But I got ammunition. I got the Word to help us with anger. Can I get amen? It's found right here. Look at this. Psalms 37:8. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. So if you look at anger, it can lead to evil. So we don't want to be in that realm. Can I get amen? So we want to run to God. We want to be in the joy of the Lord. Can I get amen? Look what James 1:20 says. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. So we want to be right with God. Amen? We need the righteousness of Christ upon our life. And once we have the righteousness of Christ upon our life, then we can do the things that he has called us to do. And guess what? We'll do it with joy. Huh? Would you rather serve God angry, or would you rather serve him with joy? Huh? Come on. Listen, the worship team that was up here, they love the Lord. There was joy written all over them. I hope you, and if you miss it, if you're just logging in, guess what? You can go back and look at it again. Amen? Praise God. But there was joy all over them. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is their strength. And I want to be in that presence when God is here. Can I get amen? You see, when God fills a place, there's no room for anger and lust and all these other things. There's not. Look at this. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Can I get amen? Amen? Praise God. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Wow, that's a biggie right there. Now, here's another stone. How many stones? Well, you know what? We're not talking about the Rolling Stones. We're talking about these real live stones that sometimes, you know, sometimes look at your heart. It could be like an oyster. You know how oysters, you know, there's actually chaos. When you study an oyster, there's chaos, there's friction, and there's irritation there, and then a pearl develops. Well, we don't develop pearls. We develop rocks. Can I get amen? We do. They're rocks. And so here's another one right here. Bitterness. Bitterness. Well, you know, and you're walking around, you know, all bitter. Bitter. You see, my friends, if we allow past hurt experience to fester, we will have no peace because our focus is on the wrong that was done to you and I. So whenever someone offends you, guess what? You start to get bitter. Oh, yeah. How dare them? Huh? I'm not going to forget. Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. We're supposed to be like Christ-like. What did Jesus say when he hung on that cross? He didn't say too many words, but one of the things he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. So we got to learn how to let that bit, we got to let that go. Don't let that hold you back. And say, you know what? I'm not going to, you know what? I got too much joy. I don't have room to be bitter and anger and to be lustful and to have all these other things. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many is getting something out of this lesson this morning? Amen. Or should I just close the book and go home? All right, I got a little bit more, okay? Hang in there, slow your roll. I'm almost done, but not yet. Praise God. So the word of God is our ammunition, amen? We know that God tells us about those bitter things. Look what God says in Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Let all, say that with me, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Why? So he gives us the ammunition. Flip that thing in your heart. Look, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as what? As God in Christ forgave you. Praise God. That's the key. See, the key is always found in God's word. That's right. You know, God left this treasure in a darkened world. So look at your Bible as treasures out of darkness. Can I get an amen? And guess what? Our life now is a treasure in the midst of darkness. Can I get an amen? Why? Because Christ, the hope of glory, lives in us. Jesus lives in us. Can I get an amen? Look what Hebrews says right here. Hebrews says this. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. That no root, notice when we saw that big old machine that was dealing with that one huge boulder, it was deep rooted in the ground. That thing, man, it took force to get that thing up. That's why God says, let no root of bitterness spring up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. What does that mean? You know what that means? That if you remain in that bitter state, people around you will be bitter at you too. And then you'll cause enemies. And they'll look at you with a heart of bitterness. Why? Because I'd rather have a teaspoon of honey than a teaspoon of vinegar. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Honey goes a long way further than vinegar or putting a saladito in your mouth. I spit those things out. Some of you guys can handle those things. Okay. Not me. I'm old school. Look at this. Here's another boulder. Self-centeredness. It's all about me. It's all about me. When you walk in, you want people to notice you. It's all about me. Have you ran into characters like that? Huh? Oh, look at me right now. Woo, it's all about me. Self-centeredness, huh? That's a tough one right there. You see, my friends, if we're preoccupied with what we want or think we deserve, we have no peace because such thinking is rooted in pride. It's all rooted in pride. When it's all about you, it's all about pride. That's right. I need these things dug out of my heart. I hope you know that. Listen, you guys can keep all your stones in your heart, but God, help me with my heart. I need these things dug out of me. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Man, I need these things removed. Why? Because I will be ineffective up here teaching you, and I'm still walking in that way. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, God. But God has the answer through the word. Can I get amen? Let's look at this right up here in Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech. Look what God says, I hate. So listen, as a child of God, if God hates these things, we need to hate it too. Can I get amen? We need to hate those things unless you want to dwell in it, you know, and still wallow in it. You'll just be miserable. You'll be a Christian that's just a name tag only. I'm brother so-and-so. I'm sister so-and-so. But man, that tongue is longer than your pant leg. Help us, Jesus. Oh, help us, God. We need you more than ever. You know, what I love about God's word, it exposes our own heart. But you know what? This is what I love about God. After he exposes it, he gives you the remedy. Don't you love that? That's right. He doesn't just say, go home and take two aspirins and call me in the morning. No, he does surgery on our hearts. Can I get amen? Praise God. This is where I say, okay, God, have your way. Have your way. Get that ugly thing out of me. I give it to you. You showed me what does. Help me now. I need to be empowered by you. Thank you, God. Look at what Galatians says right here. Look at this. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let me ask you this. Because this is another stone in there that sometimes it's very camouflaged. It's not an evident one. It's one that just, it's logged in there. And every now and then it'll raise its ugly head, especially when we're challenged or when you go before the Lord or when you lift up a petition and you give them a supplication and you pray for things that you're hoping that God will accomplish, okay? So one of the stones that sometimes will block is this right here, doubt. Anytime we doubt the truth of God's word or his promise to answer our prayers, we can't have the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. It's impossible. We have to believe God. How many believe that when God says certain things are so, you have to believe. When God says, hey, these are things you need to refrain from, you need to believe God. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen. I remember I ran into this one brother. He goes, yeah, man, God got me in the clubs, preaching in the clubs. Really? And so right after that, are you in on the dance floor and drinking it up? He goes, well, I didn't say all that. I go, well, you're in there being tempted. I mean, why do you want to even be in the midst of evil? Can I get amen? Unless you're in there with five or six strong brothers and sisters, right? Are you in there by yourself? Man, you are a target for the devil. He'll send something wicked your way, and all of a sudden, Christ is not even in your thoughts no more. Can I get amen? Huh? Oh, that's right. That's right. Look at this. Look what God put right here in Matthew 21. Look. And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, say that with me, and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, he cursed the fig tree and it withered away immediately. But even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. Why does God picture these enormous things, like these mountains and these things. You know why? Because in our little heart, they are giant seas and giant boulders and giant rocks that we cannot do with our own strength. So they're huge in our heart. But to someone, man, come on, get right with God. You know, it's easy to say that, but when you're dealing with these things in your heart, your own self, God pictures it enormous in your heart. But God has the remedy. Can I get an amen? That's right. Look what was written in the book of James here. James 1:6, it says, but let him ask in what? Faith. With no... I think my Bible says no doubting, right? For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So all these things, you're petitioning God and you're hoping for God. But here's the thing. We don't want to wait on God. We're impatient. I use an illustration of popcorn. How many love popcorn? I love popcorn. I love me some popcorn. That's right. But what we do so conveniently, we'll grab one of those little bags that are already sealed and we throw them in the microwave. And within not even a minute, it's bursting, it's hot, you know, it's steamy. You tear open the bag and, oh man, it smells so good. Wait about 5 minutes and take another kernel. It's like chewing on a tire. But see, if you did it the old school way, you took a pot, you put some oil, you put some fresh kernels in there, and you wait patiently. Wait till you hear the first pop, and then the second pop, and then all of a sudden, brrr, and then, wow, go back to that 10 minutes later, and it's still fresh. But see, we can't wait, huh? We can't wait. And so that's why doubt comes in when things haven't been changed as you thought they were going to be changed. You see, God is sovereign. God is saying, hey, wait on me. Wait on me. I heard your request the first time. We think that he went away on a vacation. He didn't hear us. We think that God is not listening to us. Let me just say this. As soon as you lift up a petition, he already knows your thought life. He already knows what you, before you even asked. And guess what? There are, what, 7 billion people around the world? He can read everyone's thought at one time. That's the kind of God we serve. All right. So what is the twin brother of unbelief? Of doubt. Huh? Fear? Yeah, fear is one. But I gave it away just now. It's unbelief. See, I couldn't even wait. I wanted to give you that word right now. You see, those without Christ cannot have his peace because they don't have a relationship with him. Can I get an amen? They may display a limited or conditional serenity, but it is easily lost and it won't last. Nothing that's not of, well, put it this way. Anything that's not of the Lord, it will not last. It won't. But look what Jesus said. How many believe Jesus? How many would rather believe Jesus? Well, look what he said right up here in Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Praise God. Praise God. Now, notice he uses metaphors like pictures. Mustard seed. That's a real seed. Yes. And some of us who have been to Israel several times, I remember our tour guide, Ido, when we were coming into Capernaum. Capernaum is where they claimed the house of Peter was. Well, before you enter in, there's these little trees that are growing along the sides of the road. And so he went over there and he brought us these tiny little seeds. They were smaller than a pulga. Oh, I'm sorry. For those of you that don't know Spanish, they were smaller than a flea. But what was mind-blowing is that tiny little mustard seed can grow into an enormous tree. And Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Praise God. And so doubt and unbelief, they will stymie. They will block your heart to believe what God has for you and what he said he would do. Can I get an amen? Let's look at this for a moment. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Praise God. You see, a lot of times we get on our knees and we pray. And then we get up. And then we don't see any cause or reaction right away. So we don't even go back there and lift it up and keep pressing, keep pressing. God said to diligently seek him. Go before him. Listen, he heard the first time already. But you know what? There are times where he allows things to not happen just yet. You know why? Because he loves spending time with you. He wants you to come and jump on his lap. I remember Sister Tammy says, I love to go before the throne room of grace. Why? Because it's like a little baby, or like a little kid jumping on his lap. That's right. Saying, Abba, Father, Papa. God wants to answer our prayers. God wants to do all kinds of things. Now, there's many stones, but we're going to talk on the last stone here. And this one here is this one, jealousy. That's right. Someone walks in, we're doing this already. Huh. We covet. We get jealous. I could sing better than that. How come I'm not up here? Oh, come on. We play those things in our mind, huh? And guess what? There's no reason for all that. Be content to what God is doing in your life. Be content what he's doing. Just give him praise and honor and glory that God has given you everything in this life that you could ever think and want and hope for. And those things that you're praying for, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon him. Because he will bring those things to pass. Can I get an amen? You see, a preoccupation with a desire to have what belongs to someone else robs us of tranquility and contentment. It'll just rob it for you. It'll rip it out of you. So God has remedy for all these stones. Aren't you so blessed? We saw a picture of these stones being dug out of the ground. I mean, big boulders, right? Well, this is for us. Because we have soil that needs to be tilted. Can I, amen? We need to have our soil tilled every now and then. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at this right here. In James 3:16, for where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there will be disorder and every what? Vile practice. Look what comes with that. It becomes destructive. It becomes destructive in the relationships that God wants you to build with. Yes. It's a destroyer. And guess what? It doesn't come from outside of your realm. It's developed within your own heart. Yes. My goodness. See, God had to deal with me on many fronts. And here's the grace of God. I could only boast in God. I'm so thankful. I am so ever thankful that my wife never saw my BC years. She never saw that. She never saw the bleepity bleepity bleep and then all that. You know, she didn't see the drug use and all that. And she didn't see all this, these things that were vile and they were wicked. Matter of fact, before God allowed me to be with one of his children, I had to learn first how to love him. Oh God, I want to learn to love you. Yes. Show me your ways, God. And for 10 years, I wasn't complaining. I was living in a two-car garage in Paradise Hills. I was so happy and content. And there were times when I had to ride my 10-speed all the way from Paradise Hills to 24th Street on Tidelands Avenue because I worked in the lumber yard. Thank God, back then I was about 32 pounds lighter too, you know, and I could roll. But there had to be a transformation. It didn't happen overnight. I had to unlearn things and relearn things from God. I had to learn how to live sanctified, set apart for him. I had to learn, had to toil in the field, to share and to testify and to win those who were lost. And after he felt like it was ready, then he presented me a flower from his garden. And now he knew I can be trusted with her. Because he knows now that if I can love him with my whole heart, soul, and mind, I can love one of his gentle flowers from his garden and nurture her no differently. See, it would have been the same if it was something that I just got saved. You know, wait a minute. Yes, you want to get saved, but there's some work to do. Can I get an amen? There's some things that God wants to do in you. Praise God. Praise God. Look at what it says in Proverbs 6:34. For jealousy makes a man furious, and he will not spare when he takes revenge. Wow. It could be that serious. Man, that jealousy will turn to anger, and for some people, it even turns to murder. Woo, man. And so, question is, right here, how can we experience Christ's peace? How? You see, saints, we must believe that he is in total control of our lives. How many believe that? That he's in total control of our lives and all of our circumstances, not just some. He's involved in every circumstance of your life. If you are a true child of God, he is in total control of your life. Can I get an amen? Even with our faults and failures, even with our shortcomings, even when we slip and we fall and we do face plants, and then God has to come with his spiritual spatula and scrape us off the ground. Hallelujah. But when he scrapes us off the ground, he will set us upright again. He'll wash us in his blood. He'll say, continue to serve me. Aren't you so blessed that he doesn't throw you away like a cheap rag? No, God is long-suffering. He allows us to toil sometimes in the field so we can get those things right in our life. Yes, that's right. You see, my friends, otherwise we will try to take control in our own self, and then there's going to be conflict and so much strife. We must believe that Christ's offer of peace is real and be willing to accept it in spite of our feelings. It's not about feelings. How many believe that it's about faith? Yes. We need to walk in faith. If you walk in feelings, man, I can say praise the Lord in the morning and at nighttime, what up? Oh, come on. Our feelings is roller coaster. It's like a roller coaster ride. But we can't base our relationship by feelings. Can I get amen? This heart, we deal with a complex issue. It's called the heart. It's very complex. This is why we had to show the illustration that there's some boulders that need to be dug up. We must fully surrender our lives, mind, will, and emotions to the Lord Jesus Christ. This includes yielding and conforming our character, our conversation, and our conduct to his will. That's why he says, let thy will be done, not my will. Can I get amen? Jesus wanted to throw, when he was in the garden of Gethsemane, he wanted to throw in the towel, but then he came to his own and said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Why? Because he saw the cross. He saw the cross. He saw the cross before him and the world behind him. Guess what? When he saw the cross at the garden, he saw you and you and you and you and you. He said, I must go to the cross for you. Hallelujah. He had us in mind that we would be freed, that we would be saved, that we would be raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that God would use us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. How many of you want to be used by him? I want to be used by God every day, not just Sundays and Wednesdays. I want God to use me every day. Oh, God, use me. Lord, I know I'm not here for eternity here on earth, but God, use me while I'm still can be used by you. Can I get amen? We know that this physical body is eroding. One day it won't be here again, but let your life count. Let your life, hallelujah, be made known unto God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to understand that if he's for us, who can be against us? Can I get amen? Let God put a shield and buckler around your life. Let him raise you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Train up your children in the way they should go. And when they get old, they will not depart from it. You must believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. For the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Can I get amen? Come on, you got to believe God. Believe God that what God has started in you, he will complete. God will complete it until he comes for you and I. Can I get an amen? I can't wait. I can't wait to be in his presence because I'm going to fall on my face. I'm going to hang on to his ankles and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Thank you, God, that you pulled me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you that you didn't leave me out there stranded on a deserted isle all by myself. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody give God praise and glory. Come on, come on, worship the King. Worship him right now, hallelujah. Thank God what he's done in your life and what he's doing and what he's gonna continue to do, praise God. So I'm gonna leave us with some questions, and then after these questions, we're gonna ask the worship team to come up and take us home. How many are so blessed this morning? Amen? Amen. Amen. Was this lesson good for you? Yes. If it wasn't, it was good for me. Amen. My wife is laughing. Yeah. Yeah, for you. She only sees the blind spots. Can I get amen? And I thank God for her. Praise God. Let's look at this. Number one, is your life characterized more by peace or anxiety? Ask yourself that. Is it characterized by the peace of God or is it full of anxiety? Well, I haven't got my stimulus check yet. What's up? Don't wait on that. Wait on God. Number two, what situations most commonly rob you of peace? So only, listen, we're all made individually unique. Yes. That's why there's no other thumbprint like yours in the world. Right. So we're all built unique by God, yet we still have this fleshly heart, okay? And so only you know what robs the peace from you. And whatever it is, give it to God this morning. So God, man, I'll give this to you. You know what? Thank you for showing me that boulder, man. Hey, look at all the mildew and the moss on it. It's been in there for a long time. I give it to you this morning, God. Take it, God. Take it. Look at number three. Where is your focus in those times? Those times that you struggle with these issues. Is it on yourself, other circumstances, the unknowable future, or is it in Christ? I'm hoping that it's in Christ. Amen. It needs to be in Christ. It has to be all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Our life should now be all about Jesus. Can I get amen? Number four, what is your level of peace when you are trusting God versus when you are trying to control your life or the life of others? Are you one of those control people that trying to control other people and you can't even control yourself? Ow, that was an owie. You're getting deep now, Pastor. I don't know if I'm coming back next week. That's okay. You can catch us on live stream now. We're still around. Look at number five. What is more qualified to be the one in charge, you or God? You or God? Huh? That's right. Listen, let me just say this, my friends. If I could get this to work. All right. We have a freeze. That's all right. You can hear me, right? I'll see if I could get this working. But listen, how many believe that Jesus is coming again? Huh? Do you believe he's coming again? Oh, come on. You know he's coming again. That's right. And we must believe that Jesus is a rewarder to those who will diligently seek him. Can I get amen? Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to be stuck on this frame, I guess. We're having a crash on the phone, but God is good. How many believe he is good? How many believe that he's worthy to be praised? And so for those right now that can only see the screen now, I'm just going to go before the Lord right now. And if you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. Amen? Because we know that God is in the midst of his people. Amen? And so, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, I need you to understand that God loves you. How many believe that God loves you? Amen. And maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus, but I know one thing. We serve a mighty God. And so allow me to lead you into a prayer of faith that you would repent before God and that you would receive him into your life. So pray this prayer. Amazing Grace is going to pray with you. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.